numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV is all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeffrey, you good? How you feeling, man?
Well, yesterday was the first Met game of the year that had truly unnecessary angst.
Yeah.
So it was the first get my heart up to speed for playoff games scenario. So that was actually a good thing last night.
When are you going to come to terms with the fact that, like, Scherzer and DeGrom are gonna author gems in the postseason? They're going to get like one run of support.
Well, last night was the opposite. Last night they needed all 9 runs that they scored in order to win the game. No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Like they're going to have to win a DeGrom star 1-0 in the playoffs. I know that.
It's going to happen. It's coming. Will Hill will join us. Speaking of the Mets, Yankees dramatic win yesterday on of all things Josh Donaldson walk off grand slam. Will Hill, the host of the New York City Cast, will join us here in studio momentarily. And then Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the Crackman, Thursday in studio. Always nice to have him right here at the South Point. We start, as always, during this hard court season with tennis picks. Yesterday, depending on what book you were betting, either 1-1 with like 5 cents loss of juice. That's how most of it ended up, actually. But if you were betting at a book where one set was all it took to get graded, then it was a 1-2. As Arena Sabalenka did most of us a favor by being down a set and then down a couple breaks, and then she just walked off the court. Love when that goes in your favor. We split the other two. Felix Auger-Aliassime wins. Francis Tiafoe coughs up a one-set lead. So it's just been after a really good week in Canada. A good week, not a really good week, but a good week in Canada. Just a bad week here in Cincinnati. We do have two plays today, one of which is way ahead again of the price that it is now. The other one of which is not far off. One is a dog, one is a favorite, both on the ladies' side in Cincinnati at the Western and Southern Open. It's always fun to see Chris Collinsworth commercials touting Cincinnati during that tournament. Shelby Rogers is the pick over Arena Sabalenka. I got her last night at plus 153, but when I look at the numbers right now, what did I see before the show? Like plus 120-something? Is that what I'm saying? Currently, it is, instead of being plus 153 where I got it, I'm seeing plus 123. Yeah, it's 30 cents worse. I don't know that I don't know how many people are going to listen to the parameters here. I wouldn't necessarily play it any lower than that. Let's put it that way. That's about as low as I'd play it. Don't go any further than that. If it gets into the teens, please do not play it. But plus 153 on Shelby Rogers, when I got it last night, plus 123, still playable right now. Caroline Garcia is the other one over Elise Mertens, minus 137. She should be right around the price, only about 4 cents higher right now. I would play that as well. So Rogers and Garcia, your two tennis picks of the day. He is in studio. He is the host of the New York City Cast. Can we call it the wildly popular New York City Cast? Is that permitted?
I don't think we can, no.
No? Can't do it?
No.
It's Will Hill, everybody. Just popular, not wildly popular. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm a little nervous. First time doing the show with pants on, so this is a little bit of a different thing for me, but I'll get through it. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I saw your pants. They're not much of pants. Can we just establish that? We don't want to ever overestimate one win in any baseball season. For goodness sakes, there's 162 of them. But the Yankees were 8-17 since the All-Star break. They look like they're going to 8-18, still in no jeopardy of like losing the division, getting knocked out of any playoff spot. But it was getting to a point, and still might be, where you're like, can this team sort of ride it out, cleanly without a sweat here the rest of the way? And they look like they're going down, and then Josh Donaldson with the Oppo walk-off. How big of a win do you think, just for their psyche, was that?
Huge, just because now you're up, you see a 10 next to that lead in the loss column now, or the 10 overall, 9 in the loss column. If that didn't go their way last night and Chapman gives up the 3 runs, it looked like he was going to get out of it because he had 2 outs, 1-2 count, 4-4. Mejia clears the bases with the double. Looked like it was going to be 4-4 going into the bottom of the 10th, gives up the 3 spot. And the way the Yankees are hitting, you figure there's no way they're going to score 3 or 4 runs. I'm sure a lot of people turned their TVs off and said, you know what, this game is over. But I think it's huge. Now they're up 10 on everybody. Toronto's schedule gets a little softer here. They do have 4 head-to-head with Toronto. But they should be okay. They'll get Stanton back, it looks like, next week. Severino at some point. LeMahieu, it looks like he's going to play tonight. So I think they'll be okay. Now, once it comes to the postseason, do they have enough? We will see. I heard moving averages yesterday was very, very unflummoxed by this whole streak.
Very much so.
I don't know that
talking
I share his
John Legace.
Yes, I don't know that I share his confidence, but certainly a huge win to just sort of exhale, take a deep breath here.
I believe his comment was, "We're just getting the losses out of the way."
Which yeah. I've used too. I said, you know what? You always hear getting hot at the right time. Maybe they're getting cold at the right time. There is a little truth to that. Well, look, October, whatever it is, 8th, 9th, when the playoffs start, everyone's 0-0. You're going to be home. Cole's going to be on the mound. So I wouldn't count them out, but boy, they certainly have some flaws.
Is it tough doing a podcast where you have to stick to the teams of the region? I mean, you have a good deal because it's New York and the two baseball teams happen to be great. But do you ever like itch to go? I'm sure you do stray a little bit, but does that ever bother you that you're sticking so close to that?
January when it's the playoffs and it's classic Chiefs Bills games, and I got to talk about Knicks Nuggets. I get a little. It is tough. But
what are the three AL wildcard teams in the end?
I think it'll stay status quo, which is Tampa, Toronto, and Seattle.
So the teams that are in it now.
I think so.
So no Boston, no Baltimore. And in the AL Central, whoever wins, not the other two teams.
I agree with that. It's funny. Look at the AL Central standings. It doesn't matter. Early May, middle August, it seems like they're frozen. Yep. They're all bunched by two games. Nobody really moves. The Twins were in first for a while, but it seems like they're just kind of static.
That is a great point. For being so close to each other, no one has
I don't think they play any games. I think they're just frozen there.
All right, so the Mets in the National League. Mets now up 4.5. Now there's a bit of a cushion all of a sudden.
5 in the loss, too.
Yeah.
With DeGrom on the mound today.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Did you see? I didn't know that there's a starting pitcher listed for Atlanta, but it's listed at 7 for the total, and it's minus 121 for the Mets. So if DeGrom's on the mound, it's minus 121. It's got to be Fried for Atlanta. I don't know why that's a 7. I'm shocked that there's a 7 there.
You think it should be lower if it's Fried?
Yeah, I was texting with Jeff Parles last night. Yeah. I thought maybe 6.
Hey, have you met Jeff Parles?
30%. I have. Hey, yeah. Jeff. Maybe there's like a 30% chance they hang a 500. It's DeGrom versus Fried. 7? Isn't that a little high?
Well, see, this is the thing with totals. Again, just sort of like the brief hack history of Major League Baseball totals. 10 years ago, and you and I were just talking about this off air, how the pandemic has sort of messed with our sense of time. 10 years ago, when the Giants are playing the Phillies in I believe it was an NLDS, not a CS. Don't hold me to that. It might have been
CS, 5.5. I remember it.
So Lincecum, who, by the way, his wife just passed away, awful story, but, you know, 2-time Cy Young winner. His wife passes away, and it's not even a blip, right? Like, no one thinks of Tim Lincecum anymore. But in those days, Lincecum was facing Oswalt. I believe that was the matchup.
It was Howard, speaking of the late, great Howard.
That's right. Yeah. But I remember the total getting down then. I want to say it was 6.5, and it was a huge deal, right? Like, oh, boy.
Oh, I remember. No, it was Saturday night game. It was Lincecum Holiday. It was 5.5. And
did it get to 5.5?
And Young Will Hill lost some money on the under because Cody Ross, I think, hit 2 home runs.
Cody Ross. That's the 2 days in a row where someone made a Cody Ross reference. So here we are now in Major League Baseball today. We see it dipping earlier in the season, first of all, last year a little bit, dipping below 7 a lot. We got to get one tonight, right? We have to.
Have to. Absolutely. And it was Nola DeGrom on Saturday, and it was 6.5, and I think it closed 6.
So this is the point of the betting point of this is there is an artificial floor, right? So we will never see anything like, the comedy of that, right? It will never happen, no matter how good the pitchers are, even if your numbers say so. So there is some ability to exploit that, I think, in some cases. On the other hand, there's a lot of people who just say, oh, no, if it's 5.5, I'm going over on principle.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's kind of an artificial floor, I would say. And so there is some betting opportunity there.
Even in the doubleheaders with the 7 innings, remember we had the 7 innings, was it last year and the 2020 season they played the 7-inning doubleheaders? I don't even think it went below 5.5 then because at some point.
Ugh, 7-inning doubleheaders. What was the worst rule change of all of them? That was it, wasn't it? Because you're effectively changing baseball stats and everything.
I still think it's the ghost man on second. I just can't get used to it. Yeah, I just can't get used to it.
Who are the three wild card teams in the National League then?
I'll say Braves, Phillies, and Padres. Padres have not played well here with Soto, but I still think
hang on.
Yeah, they get Washington this week, this weekend. Is that 4 games this weekend? I think it is. They're like a -388 favorite I saw. I was driving in here. They're a huge favorite tonight.
Have you made any baseball plays today?
I bet the Orioles. That looked a little cheap. Minus 155 against the Cubs, and I did bet the under the Mets Braves.
Okay. You're here. I got to ask you about Shohei. We haven't talked about Shohei in at least 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Well documented.
It is well documented. That's a very good point. Shohei goes 4 for 5 last night. Homer, his 27th of the year, triple. Night before, 3 for 4, another triple. Okay, so 27 homers. He is clearly, I don't want to say clearly, but it looks like 200 strikeouts on the mound is not going to be that difficult for him. So again, just let's use those parameters. Let's just use those thresholds. 200 strikeouts on the mound. Let's say 35 homers. Let's say he figures out a way to get 8 more. I'm just throwing out a number, just making a round number. We really have gotten to the point where no one cares anymore because he's on such a bad team.
Seems like it. Seems like everyone's made up their mind.
Does it seem like it because we're in gambling circles and the market says it seems like it? Or do you believe people who are actually voting on this feel that way?
The latter. I think it's the latter.
And why would that be? Because the team sucks so bad? Because the Angels are so bad?
Part of it is they play on the West Coast, too, so a lot of people go to bed.
Why didn't that apply to Juan Soto last year? He finished second to Bryce Harper. The Nationals were terrible.
I
thought Soto should have won last year, too.
Yeah.
Speaking through my 100-to-1, bet on him.
It's like the scene in The Wire where they kill Stringer Bell, and he says, it seems like you guys already got your mind made up. Get on with
Bam.
It. Yeah.
That's a great scene. Was that final episode week, season one?
I think that gets into season two.
Really?
I think it might have been early. I watched them all consecutively,
right. It might have been season two. Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes is right after when McNulty finally goes into his apartment. And he says, "Who the hell have I been chasing?" He's got all these books in a library. Who the hell have I been chasing?
So you're in the point now that you don't think Shohei has a shot at this. No more. It's not happening.
I don't think so.
No matter what he does.
I don't think so.
Wow. That's where we are. Football next with Will Hill. Some NFL teasers. We talked about Survivor yesterday. Maybe Will wants to talk about that, but we'll talk about teasers week one as well. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly, and as always, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We have screens on here in studio. By the way, it's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here. Will Hill, host of the New York City Cast, wherever podcasts are available. You were just recording one before the show here.
Yeah. Should be up momentarily.
How many a week do you do?
I usually do 5 a week. 4 of them are usually great. 1 of them I just sort of mail it in. So go to vsin.com/podcast. Check out which one is which. No, I usually do it 4 or 5 a week.
All right. And your baseball pick was the Orioles this today? Anything
Orioles
else?
Orioles and the under in the Mets Braves.
Under in the Mets Braves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We have screens on here in studio. LeBron James with the 2-year extension, north of $97 million. Is this the one? We do a little sports talk radio here for 90 seconds, Jeff. Is that allowed? Is this the one thing? Like, I feel like LeBron. People hate on LeBron. I don't know why. He's been, besides the decision, he's been a pretty upstanding dude all these years. Like, he hasn't gotten in any trouble off the court, and I don't really understand most of the hate for him. But this one matter, I think, is the one where you can kind of, can't you say something about, it's like, what, do you really need all that money? Like, can't you, like, let the teammates sort of, can't you sprinkle that around a little bit? Is that a fair criticism?
Oh, I'm completely opposite. Get the bag.
Get the bag?
Yes.
Aren't you trying to win championships?
He's done all he can at this point.
Yeah,
I know people will still compare him to Jordan because he'll end up with less than 6 in the end. But what else do you want the guy to do at this point? I have no problem with it. The only interesting thing with this, though, Gil, is remember, a lot of people thought that when his son, Bronny, comes into the league, that it was going to make it that his contract would be up to go wherever Bronny gets drafted. That doesn't happen now.
Brody's going to college, right?
He'll go to wherever for 1 year.
Yeah.
But now that doesn't necessarily happen now.
Because it's only a 2-year deal, you're saying?
Correct. 2-year extension on what he already has, yes.
Would his son want to play with him? If you're his son, aren't you under his shadow enough? I mean, that's
his son, his son quietly in his head is like,
yeah, don't you kind of want your do your
I
own
did,
thing?
I do not want to play with you, Dad. I just can't say it out loud.
I think this 2 years is more about, all right, I will be here. Let's get Westbrook off the team. Let's try to win this year. Let's go in for the picks because I don't think the Lakers are going to commit because you got to get rid of picks to get rid of Westbrook. And they're not going to do that if LeBron's not going to be here long term, if they're not a legitimate contender. So I think this is a little bit of a...
He was never leaving L.A., by the way. Never.
Yeah, but boy, can they really... Is he done winning titles? That's it? I mean...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, aren't you... I don't know.
But what's, if he takes $5 million less, is that going to matter? Who are you going to get for the $5 million?
I wasn't really thinking about $5 million less. Yeah. I was thinking about City. But how about Jeff Parle's motto of his career? Get the bag. Noted.
No problem. I have no problem with it. He's done all he can at this point.
Tweet from Mr. Smith. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Great spot just now, Will, with Gil Stringer. Bell gets killed season 3, by the way. I would not have guessed that. I got to go back. That's one of the it's my favorite show of all time, but I can't. The notion of going back and watching it, I can't do it. It's too heavy.
There's some. Which one's too heavy? What part's too heavy for you?
Season 4 in the schools, for instance.
The schools is a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. My father-in-law teaches in the inner city. He was principal for a while, and he says it's very on point. You know, some of the kids, they just never get out.
That was a season where you forgot you were watching a dramatic show. I was like, oh my God, I forgot this was acting.
And is it Randy, the kid's house, because they think he's talking to the cops and they burn his house down? That's a tough one. Yeah, there's some tough scenes. It's heavy.
So yesterday, we were talking about Survivor in week 1 in the National Football League and the notion of Circa. Which contest did you enter?
Haven't done anything yet. I'll probably enter the Circa, though.
Which one, Survivor or Millions?
So, I definitely got to do the Millions. I'm going to do the Survivor, too. Okay. I always do. I got some local Survivors that I do. It's more of a donation.
Local
Survivors. Charitable donation. Ever see the Family Guy scene where he walks up with $100 and they ask him who he wants to bet on? He's like, just take it. That's sort of me with Survivor.
Just take it.
It's fun.
The best the best Family Guy gambling one is when Stewie's the bookie and Brian fails to pay him.
Yes.
You stop ducking me, man.
You got money for fake mustaches, but you can't pay me.
Why are you ducking me, man? Okay, so we did Survivor. We talked a little bit about Survivor yesterday and just how difficult the NFL schedule makers, either willfully or not at all, made it for Survivor players week 1, and the dilemma of having multiple entries, how you play that in week 1. And it was inspired by our buddy Chris Felica, who was like, what do I do with my 4 entries? Do I split the Commanders and the Jaguars 2-2? And I thought he shouldn't do that. What about teasers? And by the way, every week during the NFL season, we will talk Survivor. We will talk teasers on the show. And so just a little primer, there are what Jeff has put together here are Wong legs and non-Wong legs. And just to sort of, again, the brief primer, Stanford Wong, it's a pseudonym. Gentleman's name is John Ferguson. He wrote one of the great books on sports betting, but he really identified the most profitable, the most plus EV teaser legs over time, over his time historically in the National Football League. And what those are being able to tease it through the 3 and the 7. 3 of those 4 qualify. So in other words, home favorites of between 7 and 8.5, where you can tease down. We're talking about 6-point teasers now, the standard 6-point teasers, where you can tease down through the 7 and the 3. And home and road dogs of between 1.5 and 2.5 points, where you can tease up through the 3 and the 7. Those are key numbers. Now, I get it. There are some studies maybe here in recent times where those numbers aren't as key perhaps as they once were. But they still are hugely key, and we want to just stick to this for the basics of the conversation. Now, you may have noted that I did not include road favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5, teased down through the 7 and 3. Those actually are not historically the best plus EV, plus expected value teaser. So, in fact, when we were going through this morning, Jeff, by mistake, had included the Ravens one and was like, oh, yeah, it's a road team, so we don't do that.
The one that didn't even make the screen because of just me being smart with this. Indianapolis, of course, is a 7.5 or 8-point favorite on the road.
On the road as well.
They would technically be in the non-long leg portion of this, even though they will probably be in every teaser in America.
Well, so that's the thing. And this is what we're trying to get at. Like yesterday, I kept saying about my Survivor conversation, I was like, 90% of the people are not going to listen to what I'm saying. And here, Jeff just pointed out the same. I think people are going to be like, whatever you throw, favorites, schmode favorites, whatever you're saying, Gil, I'm totally playing those two teams, Colts and Ravens. But they don't get there, man. They don't get there a lot. And it's so funny how our brain, week to week in the NFL season, we get how often upsets happen. But then when we conceive of our bets, we're like, oh, that can't possibly happen. Cut to a shot of you like 4 minutes into an NFL game. You're like, I can't believe I bet this. So of these, week 1... And again, I get it. There's 2 more weeks of preseason, and then there's an off week. But it's never too early to consider. Which do you like the best? Do you gravitate towards one of those 4 Wong? The 4 Wong legs are Rams. Remember, they're taking on the Bills. Thursday night football. 2.5-point dogs. Tease it through the 3 and the 7 to 8.5. Patriots are playing the Dolphins. 2.5 to 8.5, again, plus 2.5 to 8.5. Vikings are playing the Packers. +2.5 to +8.5. And the Cowboys playing the Buccaneers, primetime football, from 1.5 to 7.5. If I said, okay, Will, what's your favorite two-team 6-point teaser week one in the National Football League? You can take a Wong leg, you can take two, you can take zero, you can go to the non-Wong. What do you like?
Boy, I'll go Rams-Vikings.
Rams-Vikings.
Yeah, I'll go Rams-Vikings, both +8.5.
Jeffrey?
Minnesota's going to be in there.
Everybody has Minnesota.
I think there's going to be a pretty big line of square versus sharp, and a lot of people who at least are sharp and may think they're sharp will have Minnesota in their teaser. You know, the other leg is a little bit difficult. I kind of agree with Will. If you're going to give me over a touchdown with the Rams, again, you have to monitor Stafford's elbow before doing that. And then I know I'll hate myself probably at about 10 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday night, but getting more than the touchdown with Dallas at home.
Wait, you just picked three though.
No. I'm saying if Stafford is healthy,
yeah,
it'll be the Rams.
Okay.
If not, I need to monitor what Stafford is doing. But Dallas is very much in consideration.
I think I would stay with two long legs, and it would be the Vikings and the Cowboys. The Vikings, by the way, every human being.
I was just going to say.
As soon as that schedule, as soon as those lines came out, every human being on Earth was like, Vikings teaser leg.
Have you heard one person anywhere say, you know who I don't like this year is the Vikings. You know, I don't like the new –
right.
Everybody. And I'm with it too, but boy, that always makes me nervous. Everyone likes the Vikings.
And by the way, I raised my hand because I'm part of that group who's like, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers without Devontae, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, he's always had someone. And the counter to that is, well, maybe he made them good, and when they leave, they're not as good. I'll believe that when I see it with Devontae. But you're right. So if that – we already know if the Vikings don't cover a teaser leg – the books are going to make out so hugely week one, just that alone. But I would go Vikings Cowboys. And for me, it comes down to what could I more easily see? The Bills sort of on a exploiting a Rams hangover. And you're right, we don't know about Stafford also. What's more likely, the Bills exploiting a Rams hangover and a possible Stafford injury, or the Cowboys being able to keep it within a number against a Buccaneers team that has a lot of injuries, particularly on the offensive line and at wideout, and Tom Brady, who last we checked is still not at practice again, right? Supposed to come back early next week. I think I would go Vikings Cowboys. If I said you must include a non-Wong leg, we'll get to that after the break, which is the one you would include? Talking about week one teasers. Again, two more weeks of preseason. Do you bet preseason football?
Of course I do.
All right, we'll get to his preseason picks as well. It's America, for God's sakes. By the way, Will Hill, extremely funny on text. I told him, I said, could you bring the funny to the show? We'd appreciate that. He's getting there.
A lot of pressure on him.
There's a lot of pressure. At not the Will Hill, by the way, on Twitter. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I don't know if you've heard yet, but the VSiN College Football Guide is out. It's out now in the NFL Guide. The NFL version of it drops next week. Our experts provide profiles of every team with team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN All-Access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. Or you do it this way, save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Will Hill in studio with Partley and I. We get tweets at Beating the Book. A lot of people are clarifying that it was Stringer Bell in season three. Let's see here. Chrissy Andrews put out a picture from last night and people are saying, people are killing me. Hey, he didn't wear a hoodie. Am I still known for wearing hoodies from like 10 years ago? Is that a thing? Let's see here. Dude, this is from, people are reacting to the LeBron thing. Wreakin Havoc, which is not spelled Wreakin Havoc, but he says the hate is for LeBron is for the GM and quitting when things get hard, handpicking rosters and never getting any of the blame when it falls apart. Las Vegas, yo, tell Jeff I want LeBron to just go away already. There you go, Jeff. Coom knows. No one hates him for his basketball skills. We know he's great at it. People dislike him because he's always adding his two cents. This guy doesn't like political talk, which he's okay. Never mind about that. This is from Rick Ole. He goes, are you aware of any sites that offer Survivor or Pick'em pools similar to the ones in Vegas? Also, Wire Season's power ranking 4-2-1-3. It's like Bama, OSU, Georgia, and Clemson of seasons. Five is the year Washington made it. That's so true. Season five was a little off the rails with the press. That was the press emphasis on the Wire.
I like that. I like them all. That guy.
He's right, though. Four was number one. The school year was number one. I would say one. Season one was second best.
Yeah, and two goes underappreciated. I remember watching two and thinking at the time, is this really necessary? Where are we going with this? But yeah. I think as you rewatch it, you realize they're telling you how interconnected everything is with the Greek and everything. So I really liked season two as I rewatched it.
Again, documentary recommendation for those who have not seen it yet. Manti Te'o, the Untold on Netflix. The Manti Te'o hoax story, I cannot recommend it highly enough. I watched it Tuesday night. From everybody's perspective, the catfishing story of Manti Te'o from back in 2012 and previous years, from his perspective, Te'o's perspective, from the catfisher himself, little pronoun issue there as well, I just want to throw out, from Deadspin's perspective, from Notre Dame's perspective, just absolutely fabulous. And I think at the end, without giving anything away, I'm kind of sympathetic to everybody. Totally recommend that. Great 2 hours to watch.
Yeah, speaking of things that I can't believe it's 9-10 years ago. It's hard to believe that's 9-10 years ago. It's amazing. So I'm going to watch it. I'm excited to watch it without giving any spoilers. I remember there were some rumors floating around, different conspiracy theories in terms of what happened, why it happened. Was he legitimately fooled?
You want me to give the answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And remember at the time, people were like, oh, he's in on it.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an incredible, you got to watch it because you will come away so much more educated because remember, we all were guilty of having an impression of it at the time and then just forming a quick conclusion based on a headline or two. It's the reason that it's fascinating, like so many of these documentaries is, you have to remember where we were as a society at the time. No one knew what catfishing was then. I guess catfish, that show on MTV was kind of like a really small show at the time. It had just started, I think, but no one really knew it as they do now. So it's an incredible story.
That was a great time for local radio too. Some of the calls and some of the theories in Twitter, some of the jokes. It's just
imagine we were talking about this last night. Imagine that we had the bandwidth to talk about that kind of story so much back then.
Right.
You know.
But
before politics.
Again, not to give it all away, but what I mean, this is a guy. Decent enough looking guy. He's a Heisman finalist. He's a D1 All-American. He didn't have like a... How did a
you just have You just have to watch it. Otherwise, I'm going to give the whole thing away. Yeah.
All right.
I would say this. It's 2 hours, two episodes, 2 hours. The first 30 minutes are kind of a rehash.
Okay.
So just know that the first 30 minutes are going to be more of a slog than the other 90 minutes, which are tremendous.
He's still he's out of league, right? He's been in the league?
He is a free agent. That is correct.
When was the last time he played?
That's a good question. He was with the Chargers and then the Saints.
Yeah.
Last time
played in 2020 with Chicago.
There you go.
See, marginal pro, right? I mean, we never really heard too much.
Marginal
about
pro. Yeah. Again, what happened during the pandemic? Sort of, we lose our sense of when did he play? When did he not play? Let's go back to the teasers. Week one, we talked about what our favorite two teams, 6-point teaser. And again, more on teasers is this. Well, you have to recognize, if you're new to sports betting, I get it. Most people listening to this show have been sports betting or been betting sports for a long time. But one of the things with teasers are books, not all books, but some books, the way that they've had to combat bettors' success with teasers is by raising the juice on these. And Bill Krakenberger, who's going to join us in the second hour, has really strong thoughts on this kind of thing. But just to give you an idea, here at the South Point, let's use the South Point from where we broadcast. Do you like the studio, by the way?
Love it.
The majestic South Point?
Yeah.
Will Hill, by the way, everybody, in studio with us. But the South Point, they would offer 6-point teasers, 6.5, 7-point teasers, right? Those three offers. Anywhere from between 2 to 8 teams, 2 to 8 legs allowed. So if you do that, that's 21 different permutations of it. And they did some inventory on it a few years ago. I've told this story before, where... like all of them but a few, they were losing money on. Like bettors were getting the best of them. And so how they combat it, and again, you can make the judgment as to whether or not you think this is something you like as a bettor or not, but what they do as a bookmaker, their ability to counter that is to raise the juice. So, and the more they raise the juice on anything, this is like a sports betting mathematical thing, whenever you raise juice on something, you're break-even point, right, becomes incrementally higher. Instead of hitting, you know, 70% of two teams, 6.2, now I got to hit 71 point whatever percent. Those things matter over time, and it will be that much more difficult for you to break even. So that's the sort of tug of war that takes place, just to let everybody know if they're new to sports betting. If I said to you, you cannot take two Wong legs on this teaser, what's the non-Wong leg you would feel most comfortable with? And it could be on this screen that we're showing or something off the board here.
Oh, the Ravens looks pretty good. I have a hard time seeing the Jets look. It's the NFL. You have to throw that caveat in with anybody can beat anybody. But the Ravens going from -7 to -1, especially even if Wilson plays, this is a guy who needs his reps. You're going to disrupt all of that.
Are the Jets better off with Flacco in this game or Wilson?
The fact that I have to even hesitate is damning of Wilson.
Yes, it is. What,
can we throw a can I get a write-in vote for Mike White?
Mike Gawaida. Do you remember Chrissy Andrews' story? Mike Gawaida. Mike White threw for 400 yards in his debut, was it last year?
Yeah, I think it was, 450. It might have been. 450. Lord. Led the league in passing that week. I saw somebody cashed 100-1 on him that week.
New York Jet great Mike White.
And I thought they gave him a raw deal because he had a bad game against Buffalo, and then they kind of banished him just because I think it was political where, hey, we want to get our guy Wilson here. We don't want to have a problem on our hands, so let's get rid of Mike White and kind of banish him. I don't know what Jeff feels
I would
about
not
that.
Go Ravens because I can just see cut to a shot of Joe Flacco just having some
think
kind
so?
Of game. Yeah, just because weird things happen. I would actually go Titans myself. Jeff? Because I think if the Titans are any good, right, you still have Derrick Henry back there. I get it, you've been gutted elsewhere. But shouldn't you be able to, I know the Giants are getting a lot of hype, shouldn't you be able to win that football game? You just got to win that.
They better. If you look at their schedule.
Right.
Chiefs,
they better. It's
Chiefs,
a good way to
Packers,
put it.
Bills. They play the whole AFC West. They play the Bengals. They play the Cowboys. It's a brutal schedule. They better.
Jeffrey, what do you like? Non-Wong teaser leg.
Oh, I'm going to get yelled at by the sharper bettors here, but I'll take Jacksonville up to 9.5, which I know is a no-no to do in these type of things. But I just don't see how that game is more than one score either direction. So, yes, I understand that is a no-no by the numbers. I understand that.
This is our first apology of the year.
But
the sharp police.
That game feels like a touchdown either way. So they take Jacksonville up through the 9.5.
Can't interest you in the Browns?
I have no idea what to expect in that game.
I thought about both sides of that. I thought about Browns and I thought about
because it's Pickett at MGM. I mean,
by the way,
you are
allowed, just for those who are wondering, you are allowed to make a Browns Panthers teaser bet. A lot of people don't know that, right? You could just create a 12 point middle and bet both sides of that. That is allowed. And I think most spots, if not all.
Seems like an unpleasant way to spend an afternoon.
It sure does. Forget about the lifestyle that it gives you for those 3 hours, right? But that's that would be allowed. So for I would say it would be Vikings Cowboys for me. Just generally though, just gravitating towards the Wong side. But I do want to point out again the Jeff thing. One of the things that we've tried to do on this show, I've tried to do on Primetime Action, is we understand. I hope people who listen to this show, we understand, and we try to articulate what the correct thing to do is mathematically on this show. We're also, though, not judgmental. If you're doing something that is not mathematically sound, we're not going to destroy you for doing it. Like, we don't want to be too cool for school. We get it. Because there's people listening who are like, you should be too cool for school, and you know it's wrong. I get it. But most people are doing this for entertainment. So I'm just saying, just as long as they know what they're getting. It's like the same game parlays. You're not getting the proper bang for your buck from these sports books. Just so you know. But as long as you know that, and you still just want the opportunity to bet things that aren't even available to other sports books, as long as you know it, have at it. It's not right, but okay. I just want to.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it was like last Monday you did a segment about how people who don't model people who do. But yeah,
coming back. Coming back.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code VSiN 1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM, state-of-the-art app. offering a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. No matter what your favorite sport is, you'll find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code VSIN1000 to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada or New York. What were you saying before the commercial rudely interrupted you? Oh, modeling.
You did a segment last Monday about modeling versus non-modeling. Yeah. How, look, there's just different ways to skin a cat. And I think, you know, there's so much, like you mentioned, looking down on people who do this or don't do this. There's different ways to do this. I think instinct still does play a part of it. So I thought that was a good segment, a good thought.
Well, thank you. Las Vegas Chris joining us for that segment. He's always tremendous. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Will Hill, by the way, for those, Will Hill is in studio at not the Will Hill. That's T-H-E-E on Twitter. He's the host of the New York City cast. Of course, people just join in. It's like, who's this guy?
They got to know by now. Come on.
Gots to know. It's a gots to know situation. We get tweets. Chris Heath, just double checking. Will was on Baltimore and the under on the Mets game. What is he saying? And the under and Mets and the under? I don't know what he's saying, but I guess you're on the under in the Mets game.
Under in the Mets game and the Orioles. But Jeff Parlay has brought into the conversation an interesting point that maybe it's seven because the Braves might not pitch free. They might pitch a jabroni, in his words, which would throw that seven for a wrinkle here. So maybe just take the Mets, too. I don't know. I'm shocked that's at seven there.
You think we'll see that, like DeGrom versus jabroni underneath
the box
score?
It could be. And it's just, boy, it's strange to see a seven. And we don't see this a lot where a pitcher's on the concussion IL. So Fried hasn't been named the starter yet, so interesting.
How about what we just saw on screen? We were talking about the trade deadline and that the most perplexing trade, and we said it at the time of the trade deadline, this is in your wheelhouse with the Yankees, right before the trade deadline. So it was actually past, I want to say it was past the number, and they're still learning about trades that just got in before the deadline. And they're like, oh, yeah, the Yankees traded Jordan Montgomery to the Cardinals for Harrison Bader. And we just looked up the screen. So now Jordan Montgomery in his first three starts with the Cardinals, 3-0, 0.54, I believe it was, ERA. It might have been 0.56, 17 Ks. What were the Yankees thinking with that? Like, that's going to come back to haunt them.
I think they're thinking, well, I don't agree with it. I thought it was a strange move, a bad move. I think their thinking was he wasn't in their postseason plans, that in the postseason it would be Cole, Montas, Severino, and then, I don't know, Ty.
Still a bullpen arm, though.
I know. I totally agree. And if you gave me like 300 trades and said, hey, which one's the real one, the fake one, I would have never picked up Jordan Montgomery to the Cardinals. Of all the trades we heard, that was never rumored. It made no sense. It almost felt like the first move to a second move, whether it was another pitcher, Lopez, something, that was very strange. And he's pitched incredibly well. And J.P. Sears, who they gave up for Montas, has pitched well. Gallo's hitting home runs, which, look, I can't kill him for Gallo.
You can't kill him for Gallo.
He was striking out every time he walked up the plate. He needed to go somewhere else. If he makes you look bad, he makes you look bad. They had to make that move. But it hasn't gone well for these for the Yankees, you know, post-deadline. These guys have all played well elsewhere. And look, it's tough. Somebody had a good line. Jordan Montgomery was famous for not getting any run support with the Yankees. He sort of cursed the Yankees with that run support since he left because nobody's getting any run support.
Also tweets here. This is from Alan Mitchell. He goes, untold. We're talking about the Manti Te'o thing. He says, untold Marty Fish tennis story. Very good also. Yes, I have mentioned this on air as well. Have you ever been to the U.S. Open night sessions? It's a bucket list sports item. It's so spectacular to go to the U.S. Open at night because it's a raucous crowd, which is not really, you know, the norm for tennis. I have been to one night session in the history of my life at the U.S. Open. That night, I was watching a match between Marty Fish and Gilles Simone. This is a true story. Untold comes on, untold about Marty Fish. The entire Untold crescendos to the only match I've ever attended at the U.S. Open. I'm getting chills just because when I started, I was like, oh, my God, that's the match I was at. Basically, it's about his mental unraveling and his mental health. Like, before we were discussing mental health issues largely in society, he was talking about how he just completely imploded as a tennis player. And I had no idea what I was watching right in front of me was that happening.
That's incredible.
It's an incredible story. That's a great call. It's about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like, again, with the pandemic, I can never figure out how many, but it's right in that pocket somewhere. I think it's in the 2000s though. This is also from, let's see, Web 12-66. He goes, if you take the Rams in that teaser week one, you're smoking dust. There's an opinion on it. Brian M. talking about teasing the same two legs on of a football game, the same two sides, or the two sides of a football game. He says, on the middling teasers, back 5-10 years ago, Florida State beat BC by 7 to 10 points every year. I placed a hefty wager on FSU -3 and BC +15. Guy behind the counter was baffled and just laughed when I cashed it in. So there's all of these. We'll go on and read more of these. Preseason picks. You have week two. Will, Chris Felica and I were joking with you that, you know, every time you come on, you're like, I got week 11 picks in the NFL. I got week 14 picks. You do bet preseason. How'd you do in week one?
It was good. It's funny. I had Adam Chernoff. I talked to him before. I had him on my podcast last week, and it's actually just going to drop today. And he was saying, in, I don't know if this was on the air or off the air, but if you have a book that lets you tease preseason totals, it's like gold, because some of these are so low. It goes back to the the Lincecum holiday. When it's 5.5, look, it's got to go over at some point. And yep, some of these totals were 30. You could tease them down to 24. I mean, somebody's got to score at some point.
Did you see the stat about the 3-point 10
team? I'm kind of kicking myself for a lost opportunity where it's like, oh, that's a good angle. I'll throw in a few here or there.
You know who did them? Jason Weingarten did them.
Did he?
We're talking about 10 the books that offered, right? Offshore books, I guess it was primarily. 3-team 10-point total teasers in preseason week one. And if you had just done all, like, every possible permutation of a 3-team 10-point teaser.
Cool 740, you know.
It was, I got 500 and whatever and oh, whatever it was. 526 and oh, something like that. Anyway, you just didn't lose. But they've adjusted the totals now.
They have. I think they've over-adjusted. So I'm looking to play some unders. And I think if you just did 2.6, two-team six-point teasers, the only one that didn't cash was Cowboys-Chargers, and that was by a half a point. So a lot of scoring. I thought
560-0 if you're scoring at home.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Still pretty good.
Pretty good.
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they've over-adjusted.
Sorry to exaggerate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
I do think they've over-adjusted. Some of these totals are a little high. They've played back. Like Bears Seahawks was 42 tonight, down to like 39, 39 and a half. Some of these in the 40s I would look to play under.
What'd you bet so far for week two?
Just Bears Seahawks under.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just that one.
Yeah. You mentioned the 1-0 versus 0-1 angle, but they've sort of built that into the number. If you don't get these right away, you sort of miss. Well, there's no point in just chasing the number.
So you were just referring to that trend, the Dr. Bob trend?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, you know, again, we don't usually talk about trends on this show, but that was the one thing that annually we would come to. Again, I've mentioned it this week, but I just want to catch what was such a. So Bob would come on, Dr. Bob, the great Dr. Bob, pioneer in sports betting analytics. He had this, he not only does he do his math model, but he would have what he referred to as technical analysis. Technical analysis was just a fancy phrase for, hey, I have a database, I have access to the Buckeye database, very few people have this, and a lot of people will data mine and just try to find something randomly, but one of the things that he used to query was, if you win your first, this is when it was four preseason games, when you win your first preseason game, and then you play a team that loses its first preseason game going into week two. The week two team that lost had this unbelievable record against the spread. The thinking, right, the thinking being that the coaches want his team to get a better sense of what it feels like to have a winning experience than, say, a team that's already won it. All right, that's the theory behind it. But it played out in betting lines. And then he had a subset that he would not share what the extra parameters were, right? There was some other parameter that he put in there where it was like 60-something and 15. Like, it was just a ridiculous against the spread number. But just, and this is, you know, this is just sort of a lesson in betting. When things change, you must adapt as well. So when they got rid of the fourth preseason game, and it's now only down to three preseason games, you can't assume that coaches' patterns with the roster and who they're going to play is going to be the same as it has been all these years when they did four. So, like, we can't even talk about that anymore, really. Like, we could, but I don't know that it applies anymore. So we can't do that anymore. That used to be a very tried and true angle. And like I said, we never talk about, like, specific mechanical angles like that, but that one always worked.
I think that factored into the scoring last week with only three games in the preseason instead of four. Maybe some of these teams are taking a little more seriously of, all right, let's get our guys in a bit of a rhythm here. Week one, where they wouldn't do so in the past.
Will, it's been great having you, man. Just
That's it?
Out.
Kicking me out just like that?
Well, cracks here. Sorry okay. about that. Sorry about that. Your time has come.
Okay.
At Not The Will Hill.
Yep.
It's the New York City cast.
It is.
You do it 4 or 5 times a week.
Yes.
Anything else I missed?
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. All right, including one today, which you just recorded.
One today. It's out. It's out there.
All right, what's it about? The Yankees, the Mets?
Yankees, Mets, and then a little AFC East preview with Adam Chernoff.
There you go. There you go.
Got to have you on for the U.S. Open.
We buried the headline.
We did.
Yeah, let me have me on. I appreciate it. I would appreciate that.
Talk to your agent.
Will, I wish I had one. Will Hill, everybody. Crackman next, unscripted on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.